In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program In Search of Piety. In Search of Piety is a program based upon the book written by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, the great hadith scholar in our history. And it is a collection of different accounts and different incidents of the noble personalities in the history of Islam, beginning with the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And in the past few episodes, we've covered all the noble companions radiallahu anhum that we've mentioned have been from the famous 10 who were promised paradise during their lifetimes by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today, inshallah, I will mention another such personality. He was given the title of Aminul Ummah, the trustworthy individual of the Ummah. And he had many other qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with great honor and great fame among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But before I mention this personality, and before I mention what we refer to, what we mean by a unique wish, I would like to today share with you a warning. Yes, usually I say a point of excellence regarding sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But today I would like to remind you of a consequence or a warning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the one who is heedless or negligent in this regard. And this, what I refer to is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioning an individual before whom or in the presence of whom he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned, and that individual did not send blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. About him, he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, about such a person, he said that he has abandoned the way of paradise. Yes, so one who fails to express a prayer of blessing, salat ala nabi, in favor of the best in creation sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is mentioned, one description that of him in the prophetic tradition is that he is a person who has forgotten the way of paradise. So we are reminded as believers that this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, generally speaking, that we send blessings in favor of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where there are so many points of excellence and rewards and glad tidings for this deed. There are warnings for those people who do not fulfill this right, who do not express this respect that is part of the right of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And for us as believers, sometimes we need rewards and glad tidings to be mentioned, and sometimes, depending on the condition of our hearts, we need a warning and a wake-up call. And this brings me nicely to this general point that our religion, a theme of our religion, is ihsan. And ihsan, it's such an encompassing term because it can mean so many different things. For example, one meaning that the scholars have cited for ihsan is to fulfill the right of a person who has a right over another in a beautiful way. So it's not just about fulfilling the right, it's about doing something in a beautiful manner. So you're almost beautifying the deed. An expression of this may be that when you give, maybe someone who is in business, he after a deal is struck, he decides to give a little more to the customer out of his personal generosity. That is ihsan in that deed. For a price was agreed, but out of his own kindness or the kind of his heart, he wanted to do something more. And this is something which is beautiful and is an act of generosity. So in every deed, in our religion, we can either do deeds and just fulfill the obligation, or we can fulfill the obligation to the best of our abilities. And this is where the ihsan element comes into our deeds. And this also ties in with what I mentioned previously, that we have to explain and remind our brothers and sisters in Islam about the important messages, the important instructions and obligations in the religion. It shouldn't be a case of you remind them once and then you don't remind them for weeks and months and then you complain that they don't listen to us. It must be a reminder that is regular, but also be a bit innovative. Or there must be an elegance, there must be a beauty in the way we approach, the way we preach. It shouldn't always be warning and punishment, but at the same time, it shouldn't always be glad tidings. We must learn to strike a balance, because this is the way of the Quran and Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions rewards and bliss and glad tidings, but He also subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions warnings and punishment too. So the heart is always changing, and sometimes a rewarding element this appeals to the heart, and sometimes a punishment or a warning is something which wakes the person up from this sleep of heedlessness. Coming back to our main topic, the Amin of the Ummah, I am referring to the great companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, namely Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah was known for his bravery, for his frugal way of life. He was very simple in the way he lived, and I will share some examples of that with you shortly. He was known for his trustworthiness, and that's why he was called the Amin of the Ummah. And the hadith that Hafiz Abu Nu'aym has cited from Imam Tirmidhi, reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that every nation has an Amin, a trustworthy individual. And the Amin of this nation is Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an. So the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself gave him this title. So when we think about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we know from his life that before the proclamation of prophethood, he was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin. But it wasn't only him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This beautiful quality was possessed. Obviously, it's a lesser degree, because the qualities of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are impeccable, and he is the most exceptional, and he has every good quality to the highest degree, or of the highest degree in creation. But his followers, the noble companions radiallahu anhum, they also learned this from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and they possessed these beautiful prophetic character traits. And in this case, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an, was described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself as Al-Amin. Let us for a moment think about ourselves. Do people around us refer to us as trustworthy? We know the answer to this question. Can someone say about us that whatever he says or whatever she says is true? Can people say this about us, that we have never heard him or her speak a lie, that this person never lies, this person is never dishonest, this person has always been loyal, this person has never violated a right, or if anything was given to him or her for safekeeping, never misused it or abused that liberty that was given to him or her? What are the answers to these questions when we think about ourselves? And in light of this, when we reflect upon this, we will see that in search of piety, amana is very important. Being trustworthy is an important quality, is an important attribute to be successful in this search of piety, to attain piety and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not only known for being Aminul Ummah, he also possessed great humility. And some elements of this humility were expressed from time to time in the statements that he mentioned. One that is reported about him, once Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, any white or black person, slave or free, Arab or non-Arab, about whom I come to know that his piety is greater than mine, then I would prefer to be a part of his skin, meaning a part of his body. Yes, Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is saying that when it comes to piety, if I become aware of someone who exceeds me in piety, meaning through his personal observation or through any other form, he comes to know that there is someone who has a level of righteousness or piety that is greater than mine, or that is greater than my consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we can understand it this way, then I would prefer to be a part of his skin. Meaning I would not even look at his complexion, his background, whether he's free or whether he's a slave. The fact that he is a pious individual, this piety, in my opinion, is more important than what he looks like and what his condition in a general sense is. Piety is the standard of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Piety is the very attribute that makes normal people great people, that raises people, elevates them in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where there are shortcomings in other aspects, or people might look at physicality and appearance and wealth and things like this, materialistic things or things that are to do with the outward, piety is something which is truly the standard for friendship, the standard for company, the standard for us to look up to and for us to strive for. And this is why, or this is one of the reasons why our program is called In Search of Piety. So our striving, all these accounts that we hear about, all these incidents that we're reminded about, the focus here is that we take the lessons, the character traits that are expressed in each of these narrations, the statements of advice that are expressed, we take all these statements of advice, these character traits, and we try to apply them to our lives. It's not just about listening. Remember, dear viewers, this religion historically spread due to the character of the Muslims. Yes, many people did not have access to the Quran. Many non-Arabs could not understand the Quran. They certainly didn't know about the rhetoric of the Quran, the amazing linguistic qualities of the Quran. They simply were exposed to the behaviors of Muslims. So wherever Muslims are, or wherever Muslims were in the past, the way they behaved, the way they conducted themselves, had an impact on those who later embraced Islam or came to a very harmonized understanding of the religion. So the way we conduct ourselves, wherever we are around the world, whether we're surrounded by Muslims or whether we live in a mixed community or country or region, our conduct will have an impact on those around us. So this is why it's very important to not only be inspired by the character traits mentioned regarding the noble companions and the great pious predecessors, radiyallahu anhum wa rahimahumullah ta'ala, we also try to adopt these characteristics. Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was known for his simplicity. And this simplicity was seen by the likes of Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. There is mention of Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu visiting Sham, and he was welcomed by the people. He inquired about Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His question was, as soon as he came off his mount, he said, "Where is my brother?" And the people asked, "Who are you asking about?" And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, "Abu Ubaidah." So that this showed that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and was very close to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and. And the people said that he was on his way. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah came, he took Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with him to his home. Sayyidina Umar, when he entered the home of Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was shocked to see a quiver full of arrows, a sword, some narrations say a sword and a shield, and a saddle or something that resembled a saddle for the animal that he mounted. That's all. There was nothing else. In fact, some said that what he used to mount the animal, that was his bedding. That's what he used as a bed, or that's what he used as a pillow. He did not have anything else in his home. And on one occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu even said to him, "Why don't you have something for your comfort?" Why don't you, you know, have some more possessions or something else that will make you more comfortable? And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh simply said that I am content with what I have. I am comfortable with what I have. This great commander of the Muslims, this brave, trustworthy companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lives a life that without any possessions of this world, any possessions of significance. When I say significance, I mean significance in the eyes of people. He simply carries what he considers to be his necessities. And this was something natural to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an. In light of the few qualities of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an, I would like to come straight to the point of the unique wish, or a unique wish, which is the title of our episode today. Which wish am I talking about? Once some companions were gathered in around Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an said to his companions that wish for something. No. Express a wish, express a desire. One of them said, I wish this house was full of gold and I would spend all this gold in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an again expressed, make a wish or express a desire or express a wish. And another man said, I wish this house was full of rubies and pearls, you know, just gems and pearls and rubies, and I give all this as charity, or I give all this away or in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he radiallahu anhu repeated the same question, express a wish. This time the people said to him, he was Amirul Mu'mineen at the time, he was the leader of the Muslims, they asked him, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, we do not know what to wish for. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, I wish that this house was full of people like Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an. For Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to single out Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an and mention that all he wished for was a room full of people like Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a statement of the greatness of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Umar could have named anyone else, but he chose to name Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala and one of the many lessons that we learn from this statement of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an is that it is inspiring, exceptional people who bring change to society, who have an impact on communities, who change the world in a significant way. People often look at possessions and think it is possessions and wealth and these other asbab that might project them to success, propel them to their prosperity. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is reminding us that for a community to thrive, for real prosperity to be attained, we must find people who are exceptional. We must have a team that is strong and full of trustworthy people. When you have such characters as part of your team and you are blessed with their companionship, then no difficulty remains a difficulty. Every challenge is met. Even the most arduous tasks become easy because the team that you have are people of skill, people of honesty, and people of perseverance. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh reminding us that we must strive to become people who have such qualities, and we must strive to adopt the company of pious people and righteous people, because the pious people, the people who walk upon the path of piety, their value is a lot greater than the value of gold. Their value is a lot greater than the value of these precious pearls and rubies and gems that we see in this world. Yes, for materialistic people, this doesn't make any sense. But people who have an understanding of what is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the righteous people are people who are more valuable than their weight in gold, because taqwa, piety is invaluable, it's priceless. And people of piety are those who are worthy of being followed and are worthy of companionship. Once Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with his army that he was commanding, and he mentioned some statements of advice to the people of the army, saying, he said to them, listen, many people who are dressed in white are filthy, are dirty in terms of their religion. Meaning, apparently they dress in white, but in terms of their deen, in terms of their religiousness, they are filthy. And many people who consider themselves to be respected are in fact insignificant. He continued, he said, O people, erase old sins with new good deeds. And if anyone among you has evil deeds that fill the heavens and the earth, then he brings a good deed. It is possible that one good deed overpowers all those evil deeds. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an, giving hope to the masses, giving hope to the people. How many times do we lose hope? We think about our sins and transgressions, and sometimes from the devil, the whispers of the ego, we think, I've done so many things that are wrong, I've transgressed in so many different ways, I've spent so many years disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way back for me. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah is reminding us that one good deed that you bring, that new good deed that you may bring, it may be that one good deed erases mountains of evil. So let us not lose hope. Let us not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also reminded us that some people apparently look very clean and they look pristine. But in reality, they, in terms of their religiousness, they are filthy. A figurative expression to say that to look the part and to not be the part, meaning in the heart is still corrupt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. And the inner corruption which is hidden from people, this is inner filth. This is actually impurity, a spiritual impurity, that if one does not get rid of this, then this can lead to destruction for that person. Once Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the heart of a believer is like that of a bird. It's always changing. What can we understand from this statement? The heart, in terms of its linguistic meaning, qalb, it has the meaning of change. Because when we think about our hearts, sometimes we're happy, on other occasions, in other moments, we're sad. Sometimes we're very thoughtful, on other occasions, we seem quite carefree. The condition of our hearts, which the heart being the seat of emotion, it changes from time to time, from moment to moment. A believer should not be someone who holds grudges. A believer should be someone that when his heart is affected by something in a negative way, he should have it in himself that with the change of his heart, he changes his feeling and he forgets that grievance. He forgets that inconvenience or negativity or that offense if he was offended by a fellow believer. A point that comes to mind here is this, that sometimes many statements of advice are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, and we hear about these statements, but we fail to maximize benefit from the instructions that we are reminded of in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, there is a famous narration in Bukhari where, in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, two men fell out with each other, and one became very angry. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that he knew of a statement that would eradicate the anger of the angry man. And the statement, as many of you know the hadith, or you probably had the hadith, was أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The question is this, that we know this from the hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said that this statement eradicates anger, meaning it will completely take anger away. But why is it the case that these days a person may say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ when he is affected by anger, but it doesn't go away? Some very basic, fundamental points here to understand. One, if we know what we mean If we know what we're saying, meaning the meaning of what we're saying, and we mean what we say, yes. So we know what we mean, and we mean what we say, then we can be hopeful that we attain the benefit promised by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you think about it, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. What are you saying? I seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the cursed devil, from the accursed shaitan. When you know what you're saying, your thoughts will go to the fact that this state of anger is a state that the devil is pleased with, and he plays with us the way a child plays with a ball. This thought, when you know what أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم means, will trigger that realization, and then we will control our anger and anger will cease. So we must understand that in all these instructions, we follow the instruction and we understand the instruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to search for piety with success. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.